This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
I want to begin today by asking you a question to reflect upon. The question is this. Complete this sentence. My number one goal in life is, just dwell on that for a minute. What is it? It's an important thing for us to fill in the blank because it drives everything that we do. If my main goal is to be popular, every decision I make in my life is going to be which decision is going to make me more popular. If it's to be wealthy, every decision I make is going to have to do with what's going to get me the most money. If it's comfort, my decisions are all going to be based, well, how will I be most comfortable? It's an important question for us to ask. But there is one particular answer that Jesus has made it clear should be that number one goal. And it's very simple. To love. In that Transfiguration Gospel we just heard, the voice of God, God's self, says to the disciples and says to us, listen to my beloved son, Jesus. Well, if we're going to listen to him, what does he have to say to us? We look through all the scriptures of all the things that Jesus tells us. The most clear thing he tells us is to love. He not only tells us about that love, but gives us the perfect example of it. Remember when the rich man came up to Jesus and said, what is the most important commandment? Another way he could have put it is, what should my number one goal in life be? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So this love thing must be a pretty important concept for us to grasp and to live out. We are going to begin with next Sunday, an incredible opportunity for 40 days of studying, praying, and practicing love as we begin our 40 Days of Love program. In this gospel that we just heard of the Transfiguration, Mark begins it by saying, 6 days later. Now, Mark never puts a phrase in his gospel unless there's some significance to it. So you get into Mark chapter 9 and you read 6 days later. Well, what happened 6 days before that then? 6 days prior, Jesus had asked a question. Who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, the first one to respond by saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter got that right. But then Jesus goes on and he starts talking about the fact he's going to have to suffer. There might be even death involved. And Mark says that Peter began to rebuke Jesus. And in turn, Jesus rebukes Peter, saying those famous words, get behind me, Satan. Peter didn't get it. Peter didn't understand this journey that Jesus and they were on. And so 6 days later, when Jesus is going to go up the mountain, who does he take with him? His closest friends, those whom he loved, Peter, James, and John. Why? Because 6 days before they didn't understand how this was all part of God's plan. He wants them to understand and to grasp it. So they go up the mountain with him. And there, this incredible transfiguration experience takes place so that they can experience for themselves that what Jesus is about to do is all in God's plan. Did they get it then? Nope, they still don't get it. What does Peter want to do? He wants to build 3 houses. A wise scripture scholar said that Peter has an edifice complex. I think that's a great line. He wants to memorialize the moment. Let's stay here, Jesus. It's so nice on the mountain of Tabor. No worries, no cares. But the whole idea of the transfiguration experience was for Jesus and the disciples to get this strength and this affirmation and experience of God's love so that it would enable them when they go back down the mountain and have to live it out, they're going to get strength from remembering that. Jesus has just been arrested. This is hard for us to remain faithful, but if we'd remember the voice of God, maybe that would help us to get through this. Jesus is being tortured and we're all running away. If we remember the voice of God speaking to us on the mountain, maybe we'd have the strength to get through this. It certainly sustained Jesus. The same voice that affirmed his decision at his very baptism in the Jordan River when we began this journey is there again today, saying, "Ride on, Jesus, you're on the right journey." And it is this journey of love, of living it out. This love thing that's so important to us, we need to start with that realization on the mountaintop that just as God speaks to Jesus, he speaks to every one of us. "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter." If the only thing we get out of these 40 days that we journey together is more of a realization of how much God loves us, it will have been well worth the journey. Because we can never completely fathom how much we are loved by God. And it is in that realization of love that's going to enable us to be more loving. The whole 40 days program that we're entering into is based on Paul's letter to Corinthians, a Christian community not unlike our own that for some reason, granted we're not there, but they had fallen out of love with each other. They were being mean to each other. And so Paul has that beautiful chapter in Corinthians where he says, "Love is patient, love is kind." You hear it at every wedding we go to. But he goes on, and he says, after he's given that speech, "Love as if your life depended on it," because it does. Because that's supposed to be our number one goal. And it starts with that realization of how much we are. Then it becomes a realization that it's a choice we make. It's a commitment we make. A couple gets up and they commit to their love for each other. We say our baptismal promises and we commit how we're going to live. It's a choice, it's a commitment that we continually make. We don't feel like it every day. But it goes beyond the feeling or the emotion. And we commit to it. The phrase that drives me nuts is when people say, "I fell in love." I don't know about you, but when I fell in love, that makes me feel like I fell into a pit. That's not exactly the idea. For most of us, when we were in love for the first time, it was a mountaintop experience. I love this person. This person loves me. It's as high a mountaintop experience as we can have. But we had to climb up to get to that mountain. Now, there is a way I want to look at this today, that there is a bit of the pit experience or the falling experience. We honored this weekend at our church those in our church community who are 80 years and beyond. They're finishing their luncheon next door. 2 weeks ago, Rick Filer was kind enough to set up the video equipment up here where Charles and the band have been, and we asked them to have a roundtable discussion over this question. What are the mountaintop experiences in your life of faith that have sustained you through the valleys and the pits of your life? And we just let them talk. The most amazing thing when we finished that hour plus and we were a little bit teary-eyed because of the wealth of experience and depth of heart that was shared, the most amazing thing was most of those nine people, when they chose to tell a story, they chose to tell a story about something in your life that was a pit experience that could have been a tragedy or a tragic thing. And yet, in retrospect, they can look back and they can see how God was at work in their life through that. A lady has a stroke. A wife is abandoned by her husband and he abandons the child as well. three stories I want to share with you that we have captured on video here today. We'd like you to see those now.
And an MRI showed that there were two areas of plaque on my brain, which indicated I had two TIAs. While I was getting treatments for that, my eye was hit with a sudden acute glaucoma. And so all this necessitated a series of very painful laser treatments. While I was in this in-between mood, Betsy Beattie started the Icon Writers Guild here at church. So Betsy would very quietly come by and look over my shoulder and say, "That's beautiful." And then to think that this wonderful experience just gave me so much faith in myself as well as in God, that I could continue to do things, could continue to be a lively person and contributing.
And so I sold the building for a very handsome price and moved to the Caribbean, moved to St. Martin. Find my boat had been stolen and people were on the lookout for it. It was discovered in the Dominican Republic, the DR. I flew over there and I engaged someone to take me and the boat back to St. Martin, where I lived. Well, I'd heard that the Mona Passage was a very frightening place to be, but that day I found out how really desperately bad it could be. Just the two of us on board, and suddenly the skies blackened and the worst storm of my life happened. And we were in bad shape. We were tossed around. We couldn't stay on our feet. It's very frustrating, but we still thank God. That's the story that just strengthened my faith, made me feel God was present all the time, and that's the way I feel in my life.
Husband went off to the service and he was gone for 3 years, and when he came back he didn't want to acknowledge the child or have anything to do with me. And we went through all of that, and I've been brought up in a very religious family, always taught to seek the Lord in whatever you needed to, and to pray to him, there would always be a way. An old friend who I had met at a young people's church conference in Orkney Springs, Virginia, which is much like your roots.
Like Canoga.
Canoga came by, put him through Penn State, and he's now a successful man and has a family. But all that time, I was praying to God that the door would open somewhere in my life, that I would be given a new kind of life. And all that time, I know it was the hand of God that was looking down for us and had directed all the ways of my life, the ups and downs.
Lady has a stroke and through that realizes that there is something still that God is calling her to. A storm at sea where somebody's life is in danger and can look back and gain strength from that 20, 30 years later. A young bride with a child is abandoned by her husband and yet now can look back and see through that how God was still there with her. We had 9 stories. And you know what? We could have had a story for every single person in this church. Because through all of our journey of love, God is there. And it's stories that we need to share so that we will be more loving people. Love is to be an action, to do something. When Paul is ending this letter to the Corinthians, he says, everything you do must be done with love. When you're at BJ's and there's three people that want the same parking spot, to do it with love. When you get that telephone solicitation from the same person for the 10th time, to do that with love. When you get into a conversation with people who vote differently than you, do it with love. When there are people who are mean to us, who are difficult, we're called to treat them with love. And so it's something we need to practice. It's something that needs to become a habit for us. Psychologists tell us that it takes about 6 weeks to form a new habit. 6 weeks is 42 days, hence 40 days of love. Jesus going out to the desert for 40 days, there is a significance to that number. It was about developing the habits of prayer that he was going to need for his ministry. And so we do the same thing. We have this opportunity that is before us. We are going to start next weekend the 40 Days of Love process, program, small groups, and you have the opportunity to be a part of it with us. There should be still scattered in the pews, as if not after the service, I can get some more of the forms, that you can sign up for a particular small group in our church for those 6 weeks that begin next Sunday. If you are already in a small group at St. Joseph's, you don't need to fill one of these out, but you can pick up the materials. If you would like to be in a small group, you fill out this particular side of the form on the left, and then on the right side, you will see a small grid whereby you can check the days of the week and the times of day that you would be available for a small group. So say I'm off on Tuesday mornings and Thursday afternoons. You check those two boxes, and then we will take all of these forms completed that we receive, and we will form the new groups as we need to meet the needs of all of you. You can place these in the collection plate as you go out today or hand them to me or whatever. But this is the way that you can be a part of this. There are things that you can commit to on this form. First is here. That means you are going to be here and listen to the sermons on these subject matters. You can read, and that has to do with the book, The Relationship Principles of Jesus. After the service today, these hardbound books, The Relationship Principles of Jesus, are available to anyone who would like. It is a 40-day devotional. It's a short 5-10 minute reading for each day for 40 days that begins next Sunday. What a great way to start your day. If you do a forward day by day or a daily devotional book, this is a great one to use for Lent. These are available, as well as if you're going to be in a small group, we have a smaller book, a softbound book that is the participant guide for the small groups. You're welcome to pick one of these up as well if you're going to be in a small group. If you are choosing to be a host, and you will notice on the form, HOST is an acronym, and that means that you are willing to host a small group. And the H stands for Have a Heart for People, so you're all eligible. O, Open Your Home, meaning you are willing and able to open your home, apartment, condo, whatever, for 6 times for these people to come and join you. S, serve a snack, and that's not some gourmet thing. It's Fritos and a Diet Coke or something like that. And then T, which means the hardest one, turn on the DVD. Now, that means you have to have a DVD player in your home. And if you are going to be a small group host or leader or facilitator, you want to pick up one of these DVDs as well. This is going to be an incredible time for us in this season of Lent, I think, where God is going to fill us with many, many blessings. We are not asking for any money today. We are giving you these materials. If you are going to use them, please take them. And then at the end of the program, we will have a special Thanksgiving offering as we give God thanks for the blessings we've received through this program, this process, this year. I am looking so forward to this time together as we continue to look to see and to live out what our main goal in life is, to love. Let us take that to prayer.
Please feel free to sit, stand, or kneel for the prayers of the people.